Just hang on.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Cut. I'm your host, Christian Williams, and I am here, as always, with Randy Hall. Randy, how are you, man?
Doing good. About to get another snowstorm here in Milwaukee, so going to be fun. Possibly canceling everything for tomorrow, but not really mad about it.
Yeah,
not at all. That
sounds pretty awesome. You know, you've gotten all this snow. We literally haven't gotten a single snowstorm in it goes over the lakes and then it's gone. Is that what happens? Weather?
If I knew, I probably wouldn't be doing this. At least the other job.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm assuming just because we're closer up north, we're getting a ton of this stuff. But yeah, it's happened. It seems to happen every Saturday.
Yeah. Which
this job kind of difficult.
Do your snow day dance or whatever that you used to do in school. You remember that when teachers would say, do your dance? Did they do that at your school?
No, I did not do that at my school.
We had that at my school, which I'll tell that story later. Tonight, we're here to talk about the Atlanta Falcons. We're doing a franchise fix. Actually, it's Friday, right? We're doing this on a Friday for the first time in a while. So the Friday fix is back in action. And like I said, we're talking about the Atlanta Falcons, which as we were going through this, Randy said, you know, this is a weird team. And I said, yep, that's kind of why I want to do it, because they've kind of done a lot in free agency already, but they're in a weird spot with where they're heading as a franchise. So we're going to talk through the state of the team, the current cap situation, key free agents, and then guys that they've already brought in, some offseason moves. And then we're doing a 7-round mock draft for this one. So let's get into it. We always start with Pro Football Focus grades. And when I logged in to look at that, the Falcons were the 8th best team in overall grade last year. I think a lot of that has to do with how efficient they were on the ground, but it was a little shocking to see, considering this is a team that finished 7-10 and weren't really considered one of the better teams in football. Are you shocked to have heard that, Randy?
It's not ridiculous, but it's slightly shocking just because of how, you know, atrocious their passing attack was, you know, pretty much irrelevant to an extent, throwing 100-150 yards a game. So for that reason, that's why it's a little bit shocking. But when you're that efficient running the ball, you're going to be more efficient statistically on defense with more rest and being able to play a little bit differently than you would if it's going to be a more score-heavy game, as we saw in the game they played against the Panthers. That was definitely not their best metric day, but they had a good day.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just a little shocked. Their 90.6 run grade was one of the best in football. That was actually – they ranked 5th in that. And then their worst was tackling, so 52.5 there. And then their special teams was – pretty elite. They were the tied for 4th best special teams team as graded by Pro Football Focus. Overall, though, I think this was a team that they stuck around a lot longer than people thought. And Arthur Smith is a really good coach, and he was able to make the most out of kind of a weird situation in the quarterback room with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. And that's kind of where I want to head before we get into the current cap situation. I know that's going to shape a lot of our discussion with the mock draft. Obviously, they didn't go after a high value or big name free agent quarterback. They brought in Taylor Heinicke. But do you think that they're going to roll with Ridder this year? Do you think the Heinicke signing shows that they kind of want to move off of him?
I don't think it shows that they want to move off of him. I think it just shows that they're going to give him the full opportunity to win this job this offseason. And if he can't beat Heinicke, they know what they have in Heinicke, and they know they can win with a guy like that with this kind of offensive attack, especially if they can add in some more weapons in the passing game, which they've already done a little bit, not to some ridiculous extent, but some decent names. But yeah, I think this is a full QB battle going into the season. I don't think they're looking to target a quarterback in the draft either. If one's, you know, I'm sure they're doing their due diligence in the top four, even maybe in even top six with like Hendon Hooker, trying to see if he would be there in the second round, maybe. Kind of the same thing of, it seems like they liked Ritter a lot last year and they were looking at him in the second round and they're like, we just can't do it here. We got to go here. And then he was there again. So they went with it. I think it's going to be something like that where they might fall in love with a guy like Hooker and be fine with one of those three figuring it out for the future. But for them, I think team building besides quarterback is the best option.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that for sure. I just wanted to kind of start the conversation there. So let's move into the current cap situation. You know, I think it makes more sense to start with the free agent additions that they've already added here, Randy. So why don't you hit us with those?
Yes. So biggest names, Jesse Bates, 4 years, $64 million. The top safety on the market, bringing him over from Cincinnati to really pair with Richie Grant to make, you know, a little bit of a strength to strength at the secondary. David Onyemata to be a D tackle slash DN for him, 3 years, 35. Caleb McGarry and I'm missing someone because I didn't put it in here. They re-signed Chris Lindstrom as well. So they brought back their right guard and right tackle. For a lot of money. McGarry's 3 years, $34.5 million, I believe.
Lindstrom was a big
Lindstrom's
deal.
Like 5 years, $100 million or something.
It was a fat deal. Yeah.
So they worked to bring back this offensive line that was for the most part relatively good. You know, center, left guard maybe leaves a little bit to be desired, but definitely passable and great run blockers for this team. But moving on, besides that, bringing in Caden Ellis, 3 years, $21.5 million to be another outside linebacker, edge rusher type for you on this defense. Taylor Heinicke, 2 years, $14 million, like we already talked about. Matt Collins, 1 year, $2.5 million, kind of a special teams guy his whole career. A little bit of spikes in his career here and there, but this last year with the Raiders really kind of came alive as an offensive threat as well as the special teams guy. I think this is, you know, a bigger body help out this team a little bit. I think he's going to make an impact. Keith Smith, Smith, fullback, 1 year, $2.35 million. Michael Ford, 1 year, $2.25 million. Cornell Armstrong, $1.123 million. Tay Davis, $1.123 million. Mike Hughes, 2 years deal to kind of back up and figure out that slot corner position a little bit, at least take a shot at it. So they made a lot of impacting signings, in my opinion, mainly on the defense, and then just retooled and re-brought back your offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, so the reason I kind of wanted to start there, Jesse Bates was probably the biggest name, biggest secondary name on free in the free agent pool. I would say once James Bradbury especially returned to the Eagles, and I would argue that Bates is probably ahead of him in terms of what value he brings. That is massive for an Arthur Smith led team and how they play defense and that type of style. They now have two young safeties. Bates isn't super young, obviously he's to his second contract, but two safeties that they can actually build around with Bates and Richie Grant. So I think that plus the Mike Hughes signing kind of gives this team a little bit of freedom to attack really whatever position they want early, because I think we were looking at a situation where corner should have been very high on their board or some type. It was a little early for safety, but they were kind of hamstrung, and free agency definitely prevented them from continuing to be hamstrung as they go through this offseason.
Yeah. And they're at a pick in the draft where it's going to kind of be dictated to them, you know, what's going to be there on the board. And I think corner is still a really big part of that. Mike Hughes, he was hit or miss for the Lions. I mean, he's not really going to lock down the nickel position or corner two for that matter. Casey Hayward's still a cut candidate for your second corner position. A.J. Terrell is one of the best corners in the league, but he definitely underperformed this year. So you really need that running mate with him to take over. So whether that's – I still think that's a position you have to attack in the first three rounds here.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So they do this number in here, Randy, this is updated, right? The 23
It was
million.
Updated a couple days ago.
Okay. Have they added anyone in the last couple of days?
I don't believe so.
I think this is pending the Mike Hughes money.
Yes, it is.
So 23 million, 23.4 million, essentially, they still have. I don't personally expect them to be super aggressive, you know, on the open market. But Randy, what free agents do they have that they haven't re-signed yet?
So I'll start with the more impactful ones. Olademe, Zaccheaus, and Rashad Evans were starters and rotational starters for them. Rashad Evans kind of came in and really took over as their best linebacker last year. So I do think he's someone they definitely need to bring back. And Zaccheaus, this receiver room is not great still. So bringing back guy that works with this offense and knows what to do is a smart play. But Bradley Pinion, Eric Harris, Demir Byrd, Anthony Furster, Elijah Wilkinson, Vincent Taylor, Bo Brinkley, Kadarius Hodge, Nick Kowalski, Miko Pruitt, Jaleel Johnson, Colby Gossett, Matt Dickerson, and Rashad Fenton are all still out there as well. Most of those guys are just guys that were filling this roster up, to be fair. I don't think they need to bring it back, but the first two I talked about I do think are not necessarily cornerstones or building blocks, but I think they can keep this process going with some short-term deals.
Yeah, for sure. And so, Randy, when you attacked free agency for the fix, where'd you go?
So I honestly, like, I do want to preface this by this division is wide open for the taking. You know, the Panthers are selling out to get their quarterback of the future and trying to rebuild that offense a little bit, at least weapon-wise, through a free agency. The Saints moved with Derek Carr, restructured Thomas with Olave there. They're trying to figure that out. They still got no money for the future. Bucks without Brady, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do at quarterback. If you do this the right way with how they play offense, you can win this division if you can rebuild the rest of this and fill out the roster, even without drafting a quarterback this year. So with that in mind, I spent basically the remaining money. Now, realistically, I don't think they do all these deals, even if they could. But I think if you really wanted to give your best foot forward to win this division this year, this is something you could do. Bringing back Rashawn Evans, 2 years, $9 million. I think this is a contract that gets done in the next couple of weeks as well. They really should bring him back. They're a 3-4 team that really has a couple young edge rushers and a new free agent signing edge rusher at outside linebacker, and then basically Troy Anderson on the inside. I think you need to bring back someone else and still attack this in the draft. Troy Hill, 1 year, $3.5 million. Again, if we can get two or three shots at this nickel cornerback position, Troy Hill is not going to stay with the Rams. Not with this team rebuilding completely. I think this is a fun landing spot for him. Brought back Olademe, Zaccheaus, 2 years, $7 million. This, again, this receiver room is really bad, and you're not going to be able to take six shots at it unless you take something at pick eight, which I don't think you can do. George Fant, 2 years, $7 million. They have their starting tackles, I think, and I think they're comfortable with them for the next 2 years. But besides that, they have Taylor Vrabel, who was definitely like a fifth to seventh round guy that we liked last year that has upside, but he's not ready to really step in and be your swing tackle right now, in my opinion. So I think bringing in George Fant to actually just be your swing six-man tackle is a good play here while you try and build up the rest of it and figure it out to get rid of him in 2 years. And then DeAndre Carter, I've brought him up a couple times, but 1 year, $2 million. His market value is just decreasing at this point. Just another kind of bigger body, but another deep threat for this offense to work on play action, really fleshing out this receiver room as best as we can. And a late addition for me, Rasheem Green, just getting another big body edge rusher. I believe he's like 6'5", 280. They really don't have pure 3-4 edges on this team right now that I really like. So getting him in there gives you another guy to at least rotate in. I think he had like 4 sacks, 20-something tackles. He was a rotational guy for the Texans last year, but I think he could make an impact for him.
Yeah. So you went fairly aggressive.
I spent money to win this division.
I think that's fair. I think there's also a world in which they say, hey, we were 7-10 last year, and we're bringing back a lot of that core. Let's bring back a few of those pieces. And really, Rashawn Evans is the guy I think still are working at bringing back 2 years, $9 million, same deal that you gave. I think that that's a smart deal to make. He kind of, you know, like you said, he played well last year, and I think that they're going to want to get some of that production once again. And then I just stole Troy Hill from you as well. So I stole that contract. And then outside of that, I just think, you know, rolling over some of that money and then just kind of running it back with the guys that you've added so far, I think you're in a fine position to continue competing for the division, because that division is wide open. The Panthers are making a push for it right now with all of their signings and a rookie quarterback, but this is very much so a potential playoff team. So,
I will say that of my deals, the ones that I would expect, if I was to cut deals from this for them, it'd be the receiver deals. I think they signed Mac Hollins and that might be it for them. And they'll address getting at least one more in the draft, but that'll probably be it. So, I mean, it only would free up another $5.5 million this year. But that is a good enough amount to roll over into what will be a lot of cap next year as well, even with those big signings. So,
yeah, for sure. All right, let's get into our draft. So we haven't really talked about team needs. We've just talked about their acquisitions, but the defensive line is in bad shape right now. Not bad shape. It got a nice anchor in the middle with Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata. But outside of that, I think they brought back some pieces that, like Lorenzo Carter, not really a guy that's getting, you know, any pressure on quarterbacks. They didn't have too many people that could get to the quarterback last year. So edge is probably their number one need. Do you agree with that, Randy?
Yeah, I definitely would have that up there. It's just like I said, it might be a position that's a little bit picked over who they want to spend at eight, and that's going to be the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so just defensive line in general, wide receiver, we talked about linebacker, center, corner, offensive tackle, quarterback, running back is what we have listed. I would argue I liked Ritter a lot. I am optimistic that he can, you know, become an NFL starter. I also think that what we saw last year was he flashed once, and I'm a little skeptical that that's going to happen this year now. So, and I think it's worth noting that he's a third round pick. Those guys don't get too many opportunities. So I think the first time he fails this year, it could be the Taylor Heinicke show moving forward. But day two, there's no reason to go back to the well and draft a day two quarterback, in my opinion. There's the purpose of that. There is no purpose to that. You already have one of those guys in Desmond Ridder. So, so I do think while that is probably one of their bigger needs, it's just they're not going to attack it unless Anthony Richardson falls to eight. Do you think that there's a world in which that happens?
There's definitely a world that it could happen, and there's a chance that they love Levis as well. And especially if you're top 10, all a quarterback needs is someone to fall in love with them. So we'll see how it goes. I think that's closer to Levis's range, and realistically, Richardson right now, that's closer to his range. It's just upside-wise, it's probably top five. That's the issue that they're going to keep facing. Yeah. But yeah, that's why I have quarterback lower on the team need as well, because while you know a top end quarterback is probably number one for them, it just seems like they are going to take the shot with these two this season.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, Randy, did you make any trades in your draft?
I did not.
All right.
Although I will clarify one that I think they might need to. Just a small one. Do you want to do back and forth again, or you want to go through?
Yes, okay, you first.
All right. So at 108, I could not consistently get an edge rusher there that I really liked. Even Lucas Van Ness was kind of popping off the board a good amount of times to like the Lions or the Seahawks. So it was just really tough. So because of that, I went with Devin Witherspoon, corner from Illinois. I think he gives you at least the what you want in a blend of inside-outside. And I think he could immediately be a dominant corner two for you. And you're literally just making – you're finishing strength to strength here. The secondary is going to carry this defense and allow you to not have as dominant of an edge rushing presence on this team and give guys like Ebiketie another chance to develop this season.
Yeah, I love it. I think corner – my thing is if Christian Gonzalez is there, I think they absolutely go in that direction. Devin Witherspoon's a weird one for me because he wasn't able to test at all through. Yeah. Now, I don't know if he'll test at like his private workouts, his top 30 visits. I don't know if he's on their list. I need to kind of find a good resource for the top 30 visits, but his film is that of a top 10 pick, I think.
Especially if he's starting off as a corner two for you. Right. He's going to be ridiculously dominant and help be an actual vocal leader for this defense. The other thing is, like, I consistently had the Raiders taking Gonzalez ahead of it, and it just keeps poking that bear kind of situation of what are you gonna take a different edge rusher, which, you know, maybe someone else did, or are you gonna go for something else? And there were sometimes the Jalen Carter was there, and I'm kind of iffy on that situation still. So I was leaving it off the board a little bit. But the other thing is, 44, I don't know what corner is going to be there. We are getting at least six corners in this first round, guys. And that is scary to me because there's a legitimate chance that the Ravens at 22 aren't going to get any of the top five or six corners. Like that's an actual opportunity in this draft. I'm not guaranteeing it by any means, but they also desperately need a corner. Yeah. And so do other teams after them. So at that point, you're telling me that I'm getting possibly anywhere from the sixth to eighth best corner on my board for them.
Yeah.
And all my top two or three edge rushers are off the board. I'm taking a top three corner on anyone's board.
It's a really good way to look at it. For sure. I think six is a lot. And I know that I've seen so many mocks with six, and I'm like, is this guy really going to go this high? Like the Cam Smith stuff, the Emmanuel Forbes stuff.
Yeah. I think it was Kuiper had Forbes at like 16.
Yeah, man.
This last week. I think like Kuiper had six or seven corners.
He had seven, I think.
Had five or six at least.
Well, here's the thing. I'll guarantee that four go. And
yeah, I think it's a lock that four go.
I'll go through my draft because there was a corner that I think could still be there that mm-hmm. I think that they will like as like their corner too. So my first overall or eighth overall pick here, first round pick, Nolan Smith, the edge rusher from Georgia. I put this in my mock draft 1.0 for football guys. It's just a pick that makes a lot of sense to me. You know, they've gotten burned by small edge rushers in the past, but I don't think that prevents them. It was obviously a completely different regime back then, but Nolan Smith, he's a small guy, but man, is he good against the run? Is he, you know, strong and explosive, and he has all of the bend that you're looking for in generating pressures in today's NFL. He can get to the quarterback quickly. The sack production wasn't always there, but that's kind of okay. Sack production isn't the end all be all. With all of these guys. So Nolan Smith, to me, the combine definitely vaulted him into top 20 discussion. I was mocking him in the top 20 well before the combine because I expected that at the combine. So you know, it's tough because I think Jalen Carter could be there at eight, and I just don't – we talked about it pre-show, but I have no idea what to do with Jalen Carter at this point. He was there for most of my picks here or most of my simulations, my mocks, and I still went with Nolan Smith here.
No, it's fair. And, you know, with them having Grady Jarrett and spending the money on Onyemata, Jalen Carter is going to be at best a 60% on the field guy this first year. He's trying to figure out some stuff. with playing time. And, you know, Georgia has some parts in that because they rotate guys like crazy. But Nolan Smith, I mean, he proved to be a top 20 athlete in this class. He's a top 10 leader and glue guy in this class. He is going to help out that defensive line a ton, and they need it. You know, Grady Jarrett's clearly a locker room leader for them, but I think Nolan Smith will, you know, be the guy that has a locker right next to him day one and really join him at the hip in leading this defense with this new secondary into being something that can be really good, especially with how this offense performs. So he is one of the guys, even with that small size and not really being a 3-4 end, more of an edge for them. Not the mixture like you could have got from a couple other guys. I do think he's a talent-wise and fit-wise for that team. Perfect.
Yeah. Sounds good. Where'd you go in round two?
I want Jack Campbell, linebacker from Iowa. A guy that very early in this process I was loving in the third round. But after testing, you know, when we talked about originally, his film, he doesn't look like – he's not like a minus athlete by any means. He looks like kind of an average athlete on film, but we didn't see average athlete on testing. So there's still some levels to his game that he can tap. He needs to get untapped and figure this out to really show this plus athleticism on the field a little bit more. But from a pure middle linebacker making play standpoint, he has it all there. And this defense desperately needs it, especially if you don't bring back Rashawn Evans, which I did in this scenario. But I think he's your middle linebacker leader of this defense in that linebacking core alongside an athletic freak like Troy Anderson. This could be a ridiculous inside linebacking grouping for the next 10 years. And yeah, to be honest, a lot of the edge rushers didn't love here.
They need the two positions that are going to fly off the board. Yeah. Even a guy like Keon White from Georgia Tech, like I don't expect he'll be there at 44. I don't expect
he's becoming a lock pick for the Chiefs at 30.
Yeah. People. And I don't even know if he's there at 30 because I'm reading about Brian Brzee's demise left and right, and how he's going to go lower than everyone expects. And Keon White's an inside out guy and a pretty darn good one. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes even higher. That pushes up a lot of those other like fringe guys, and they get pushed into like even that 32 to 40 range where you don't know what you're going to get. I like this pick. I don't like Campbell as much as other people. I thought his film was fine, but his athleticism kind of surprised me too, because I don't think I saw that all the time on his film. So,
I think that alone is what is going to, you know, with what you see work ethic wise, I think that's going to propel him from what should be like a 50 to 60, 75 pick up to here at 44 with a team that needs a linebacker. Because if you can work on that, figure that out to where he can make that athleticism show up on tape now, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. My pick at 44, the corner that I was talking about, is DJ Turner, the corner from Michigan. Super, super athletic kid that is just incredibly sticky. And he's not the most scheme versatile guy, but I think with the scheme that the Falcons like to play, Turner's a really good fit. He is a smaller dude, so I think fitting him in as a corner two is the best way to deploy him anyway. But I also think that plus his athleticism gives him a little bit of that inside out versatility where he can kick in. But honestly, he's best impressed. He's got a good jam, and then he's, he's able to kind of keep up with even the fastest receivers. So I think when you're playing against the Chris Olaves and, you know, I guess, I don't know, DJ Chark's of the world, not DJ Chark, DJ Chark's fast, but you're not worried about it. But I think this is a guy that they'll want to target here in the top 50 that could still be there. And that's why I was comfortable going edge rusher early. But I'll be honest, we're only through two picks and I already like your reasoning for your first pick more than mine. So
I try.
My
third round pick, but I do think DJ Turner will be there at this pick. And like you said, I think he gives you flexibility and he's another athletic freak that can really make an impact all over this team. There was some talk as well as him possibly even being moved around at safety at times. I don't think they need that now, but there could be times where he could definitely be used in different ways. So I think it's a good pick. I just liked it better when he was a third-round guy than when he's up here. But my third-rounder is Joe Tippmann, interior offensive lineman from Wisconsin. He's a center that can play guard because of his size. This is the pick where I said I think they might need to trade up to get him.
They might need to take him at 44, dude. I've seen a lot
of hype on him. So there's concern of, like, Michael Schmitz, him, and Whipler going anywhere from, like, 24 to 50. But there's a lot of times where they're just not going to. And there are some really good centers in this class, so he'll be pushed down a bit. But that's why there was a few times where I played with the idea of trading up to like 60 with this pick and throwing in a fourth and a seventh next year. It's not really affecting this year's draft. But I did want to point that out because I think it is a possibility. I think they do need to somewhat get a center of the future in this draft regardless. But Joe Tippmann is one of the best. And is he possibly going to be a guard for you early on? Maybe. I still think they're trying to figure out their left guard center combo for the future. I think this guarantees you one of the spots.
Yeah, I think he's one of the more pro red. I think he could take over for Drew Dahlman. And just like be the starting center from day one. I really liked him, and I don't have a final grade on him yet, but man, he's a good football player. Good pick. I did attack that position later. I'll get to that. My third round pick, Javon Dexter, the defensive tackle out of Florida. This is a guy that athletically is a first round pick, and on film he's a day three pick, and so I think that's going to place him somewhere in the middle. I think we've talked about him on this on the franchise fixes. I think you took him in one. Is that right? Yeah. I don't think I've taken him yet, but you know, just getting some depth behind those guys. I think he probably profiles best. I don't know, man, because he gets pushed around in run defense quite a bit. But if you fit him in behind David Onyemata and kind of let him rotate in, I think that gives you a little bit of depth, gives you the ability to develop him. And if he develops, then you have a guy running next to Grady Jarrett for quite a while that's pretty darn good at rushing the passer. So, is he my favorite prospect? Absolutely not. But I also I think he's going to be a top 100 pick.
I do too. I think he's just the athletic profile alone and the pedigree alone, I think puts it up there, but he's one of the people that clearly have some stuff to figure out and unlock that potential at the next level. And that's why he's going to the third round. I mean, plain and simple. So I think it's a good fit as well because he could sit behind two of the better D tackles, nose tackle, D tackle in the league. And then pretty much when their time is done, it can be his time to take over at the three tech for this team.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Where'd you go in the fourth?
Yeah. I got the best receiver in the fourth round, which is why he might not be here at 110. I'll state that, but he's consistently lower than this. In every mock, me and Christian are on this guy in the third, no question for me. But Marvin Mims, wide receiver from Oklahoma, he's consistently going this late, and it's honestly annoying to me. So I took him here because I probably won't take him again. and that's plain and simple. I'll point that out. He is a very good all-around receiver for this team. He would instantly, in my opinion, be their day one slot receiver. The issue for this team is they don't necessarily run a slot receiver, but if they are the three receiver set, I think he's guaranteed to be on the field. And I think he could easily take snaps away from Matt Collins year one, and year two can really take over this wide receiver two role for this team and be a good running mate for the future with Drake London, who is, you know, obviously this team's first option.
Yeah. When I saw this pick, I was like, you are cheating because you know. So here's the there have actually been some debates about this in some of the chats that I'm in. You know, Marvin Mims, I think he has good film. I don't think he has like this outstanding film. I've seen the fantasy community hype him up as like one of these all-time elite deep threat receivers, and he's not that, but he's my wide receiver 6, I think. So like he's up there, and I think that he should go probably in the second round. I think he will go in the third round, but if he does somehow fall to the Falcons here, that's a perfect pick that allows you to kind of use Drake London and Kyle Pitts how they need to be used. Marvin Mims can kind of take the top off, but I think he also has the ability to be more than that. I just don't think that Oklahoma ever asked him to do that. So good pick.
No, and they usually don't. Like they did with CeeDee, but CeeDee's a different breed. Yeah. But besides that, Oklahoma doesn't tend to really expect that from their guys. So yeah. I think I think he's my wide receiver like 5 or 6, and I would be comfortable taking him late second. But I think he's definitely going third and could be late third, fourth. Just depends how this falls. The people aren't very high in this receiver class, but once we get to the late third, fourth round, there's going to be a few that fly off the board.
Yep. And that leads me into my first fourth round pick here at pick 110. I took Xavier Hutchinson, the wide receiver from Iowa State. This is a guy I think will be here. Xavier Hutchinson, really good route runner and a very reliable pass catcher. I feel like this is one that I have used in the past, but he's one of my favorites, and I think he fits this system very well, because a key part too of the Arthur Smith offense is wide receivers that can block. And I think Xavier Hutchinson does a pretty good job in that respect, in that regard. So, but I also think he's getting open and he can threaten at all three levels of the field, but mostly in that short to intermediate area. I think if you run Pitts behind him, you're going to get a lot of wide open looks for your second year quarterback. So I think he'd get on the field immediately too. I think he'd be on the field in three wide sets with Matt Collins and Drake London.
Yeah, I think for sure, especially with your case where you didn't bring back Zacchaeus or anything, like he easily gets on the field there. Yeah. He fits what they would do for sure.
Yeah,
I think slightly better. Like if I'm picturing what they want next year to replace Hollins, it would be more Hutchinson than it would be Mims. But if I'm building the wide receiver room the right way, it'd be Mims.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, where'd you go with your next fourth?
At 113, I went with Colby Wooden, D-tackle from Auburn. Kind of the cheaper version of Dexter, if I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. Really good size and speed. 6'4", 275, I want to say. But a very good athlete, really good pass rush upside, and good anchor at this position. But same kind of issues, consistency, plays really high, and hand placement not the best. So there's a lot of consistency issues with this player to where he's going to fall all the way down here. Like, athlete-wise, he's easily a third-rounder, but his consistency and his fill puts him in the fourth because he needs to really figure out how to stay low and play at the right level for this kind of position. But when he's rolling as a pass rusher, he's one of the better pass rush tackles of this class. So I think that's a good rotational player for you for this team. It helps attack this position because, in fairness, I didn't really attack edge rusher a lot because I signed an edge rusher and no one was falling to me. So,
yeah. Yeah, and that happens. You have to play the board how it comes to you, right? So,
yep.
Speaking of inconsistent players, here at 113, I took Zach Evans, the running back from Ole Miss. Randy and I talked about Zach Evans beforehand. The inconsistency in his film isn't as bad as just he's not consistently on the field. And that's the question with Zach Evans. I think there's a real chance that Zach Evans falls to day three. I know he's been projected as a day two pick for a long, long time. And I think talent-wise, he is 100% a day two pick and can still be a very good running back. I think they do like Tyler Allgeier. There's been some at 8 take Bijan talk. I don't think they're going to do that, but I do think they will add a running back to this room, because outside of that, I don't think that they're happy with the running back depth. So Zach Evans kind of comes in. He's good in this scheme, and he is a great pure runner, which is what succeeds in Arthur Smith offenses. I think you've got a really nice 1-2 punch at running back then.
Yeah, it's an actual 1-2 punch of the future and does complement Algier perfectly, if I'm to be honest. That's what they having. That's what they want to get out of a combination of Patterson and Huntley for this next year, what they hoped last year. And, you know, we saw it a little bit with Patterson, but his health was declining last year, as well as his performance. And Huntley's just not there. He could get there. You know, he had some flashes of some good games, but Evan's upside is, you know, ridiculous in comparison to those two. So I think it's a good fit. It's just it's the same thing. Like I attack so many other positions. It's a position I had to kick the can on, as well as Edge, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But picking Evans is kind of the best of the situation here, because I don't think you could spend a top 3-round pick for this team and a running back this year.
I don't think so either.
I mean, if Bijan is there at 44, yeah, fucking take him. But he's not going to be there at 44. That's the issue.
What would you say about a trade back from 8 to like 14, for example?
Still, it's team building wise, it'd be tough.
It would be. They just got 1,000 yards out of Tyler Algier. Like, he set the Falcons rookie
record. Algier was very, very good. He was good. The thing is, they don't have, you know, Patterson is their pass catching back.
Yeah.
And again, older age, health wise, that's the issue of this offense right now from that scheme.
Yeah.
And Evans is at least decent in that regard and can maybe give you a spark for the future.
Yeah. All right, run through your last three, actually, so we can...
Very quickly for the 159 fifth round, because I believe I used him for the last show. Dorian Williams, linebacker from Tulane. Good upside linebacker, good tackler. Just needs to get more consistent. He's a relatively good athlete. I think he could be a good rotational linebacker to the next level for you. He could play inside-outside for you as well a little bit. So I think it's a good depth piece. This team does not have depth at linebacker, and they desperately need it. Seventh round, they don't have a sixth round pick. So seventh round, 224, I went with Evan Hull, running back from Northwestern. A guy that's really been killing it. He had a good season, and really kept them in a lot of games, but he's had a good off season, really making his name better and better through all these processes. Pretty good set. I mean, 5'10", 210, but he's a slasher runner that showcases just good vision and good gaps. Discipline for this kind of scheme, I think that's going to work really well. And he's a good, effective pass game target for them. So, and he also didn't have that many carries in college. So he gets to come in with some fresh legs and really help you as a complimentary back to the rest of these guys.
Yeah.
I think he'd be your third or fourth running back this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right. And then your other seventh.
225, oh, it's City So, offensive tackle from Eastern Michigan. What?
I don't even know who that is, honestly. So,
well, you should, because he tested as an athletic freak.
Is he the one that's getting a little bit of, like, definitely getting drafted hype? But
yeah, he's definitely sure getting drafted now, because he had, like, close, I think it was over 9 RAS. Like, he tested out of the building, along with his teammate Jose Ramirez, the edge rusher.
Yeah, I know Jose.
So both guys are going to go late day 3. But City So at least gives you another athletic type of tackle and, you know, move piece to try to build around this team. This team, they've put money now on the right side of the offensive line, but they're still figuring out the interior a little bit. They need to figure out left tackle in the future. And they have, like, barely any depth at offensive line. So getting more people in here is what I was trying to do with that pick.
Yeah, for sure. All right, my last three picks here. Ricky Stromberg, the center from Arkansas. This is a guy that, you know, he's getting lost in this center class, but I think he moves really well. I don't think he anchors super well, but I also don't know that that's the most important trait of an Arthur Smith center. And so I think that those movement skills and him falling to the fifth round make him a pretty nice target for this team. He can sit behind Dahlman for a year, and I think that you're getting a player in a similar mold as Drew Dahlman here as well. 224, I took Muhammad Diabate, the linebacker from Utah. Quick player, explosive player, gets to the quarterback pretty well, but just not the most dynamic linebacker in the world, so I think that's why he's here. And then 225, I took Stetson Bennett, the quarterback from Georgia. Listen, if Desmond Ridder doesn't work out, you can go get Taylor Heineke's backup and Stetson Bennett. And I think that those two are stylistically similar. And in terms of, I keep talking about the Arthur Smith offense, probably because it's brilliant what he is able to do and how he's able to kind of put his quarterback in positions to succeed. Stetson Bennett could do pretty well in an Arthur Smith offense with his skill set. And I think his deep ball is good enough that, like, all the play action stuff that Arthur Smith really likes would be perfect. So take a shot on him. I don't think he's getting drafted very highly. I think seventh round is about right for Stetson Bennett, despite the, like, round four talk. You don't think he's there?
I don't think he's going round four, but I think he's going round five.
I think that's fair. What do you make of him being arrested, though? And how we don't talk about that, but we talk about Jalen Carter.
If his hat was backwards, that's all I need to know.
it's pretty much the same situation as Baker. It's really funny. He
pretty much cops too. It's because he was drunk, you know.
Yeah.
No, I think it's something that's kind of gotten. It's not going to be a big deal, but I do think, you know, I think he has the wherewithal to answer that question, and I think his play in the field spoke enough for itself that. In a system like this, he can be a good enough leader to help you win games. I again, like you said, Taylor Heineke's backup. I do think he would be functionally a Taylor Heineke in the league, and you know, best case. But I do think he's a relatively good quarterback. And this pick is it's a multi-level for your team. It's a Georgia guy bringing him back, hard fought. That's a helpful thing, but. Now, those fans have seen him win games. So if Ridder and Heineke aren't, they're going to want him in the game.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work.
Yeah, he's not very good. But I just wanted to have fun with my seventh round pick. All right, I'm going to run through my new roster really quickly. So Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke, Stetson Bennett. I'd cut Logan Woodside in this case, by the way. Not keeping four quarterbacks. That's crazy. Tyler Allgeier, Zach Evans, Cordero Patterson, Caleb Huntley as well. Keith Smith at fullback, Drake London, Xavier Hutchinson, Mac Hollins. And then at slot, just Kyle Pitts. I don't really care about my slot wide receiver spot. Offensive line, Jake Matthews, Matt Hennessy, Drew Dahlman, and Ricky Stromberg, Chris Lindstrom, Caleb McGarry, and then Jalen Mayfield kind of being your swing guard. And I don't love that. I kind of wish I had more guard depth here. Tight end, Kyle Pitts, Jonnu Smith, and then a litany of other guys. I'm cutting some of them in training camp. Defensive end, Nolan Smith, nose tackle, Grady Jarrett, defensive tackle, David Onyemata, and Javon Dexter. Linebackers, Lorenzo Carter, D'Angelo Malone rotating in, and David Anani. And then the Will linebacker, Troy Anderson, Muhammad Diabate, middle linebacker, Rashawn Evans, and Michael Walker, Caden Ellis at outside linebacker, and then corners or secondary, AJ Terrell, Casey Hayward, DJ Turner, Troy Hill, D. Alford, Mike Hughes, pretty good core there. And then, like I talked about at the beginning, Jesse Bates, Richie Grant are the guys you build around in your safety room.
Yeah, I think you addressed some spots that I couldn't. I think that works out really well. For mine, Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke, quarterback, Allgeier, Patterson, Huntley, Hull as your running backs, cut everyone else, Keith Smith as your fullback, Drake London, Mac Hollins, Marvin Mims as your starters with DeAndre Carter and Olamide Zaccheaus as your rotational guys, Jake Matthews and Caleb McGarry as your tackles with Fant and Vrabel. And honestly, Mayfield as well as your rotational tackle possibilities. Hennessy, Tippmann, and Lindstrom as your interior with Mayfield and Dahlman as your rotational guys. Pitts and Jonnu as your tight ends. Everyone else, as far as I care, doesn't matter. Because they got like six tight ends. Traquan Graham and Rashid Green as your edges with Grady Jarrett and Onyemata and Colby Wooden in your interior. Lorenzo Carter, Caden Ellis, and Arnold Ebiketie as your edge rush linebackers. Troy Anderson, Rashawn Evans, Jack Campbell, Dorian Williams as your four interior and edge linebackers just rotated and constantly causing havoc, and all really athletic. And I think that's a big aspect of this, of what I was trying to build in that linebacking room. A.J. Terrell, Devon Witherspoon, Casey Hayward, Troy Hill, D. Alford, Mike Hughes, Jesse Bates, and Richie Grant as your secondary. I think your defense is really good, except edge.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you're going into next year with this team and thinking, okay, like maybe we have a new left guard next year, maybe we're going to new quarterback next year, and then we need an edge, and that's about it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good build. I really like your reasoning for going corner in the first, and it's going to influence how I write my next mock, I think. So, spoiler alert.
Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still working through it. Next one drops in a couple weeks. So, okay, that'll do it. Is there anything you want to add on the Falcons
before we bounce? I think, you know, they have, with coaching and scheme, as long as Ritter or Heinicke performs to the level that we know they're capable of, I think this team could win the division. Plain and simple.
NFC South is so wide open. Yeah, I like the Panthers to win it, honestly.
I like what they've done to build the offense for CJ or Bryce or Anthony.
But most likely
CJ. But just not Will. Just not Will.
That would be something.
But in reality, if they take Anthony, the Panthers aren't winning this year. But if they take Young or Stroud, with what they're doing, with how that defense looks, they got a shot.
Yep.
But it all changes if the Bucks get Levis now, and
his Levis better than Baker right now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
For the team.
Levis, sure. Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man.
And play, you know, some games Baker would destroy him, but some games Levis would make him look like Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, but some games Baker will just look like Levis did at Kentucky, and so I don't know. It's a worthy conversation to have, because I think the reality of that is that could happen for sure, but. Okay, yeah, good franchise fix. We'll be back we talked about a free agency recap episode at some point here in the near future. So we'll be doing that early next week, I think, is when it'll drop.
And it's possibly Friday fix again next week. The tournaments are done for me. So last week was ridiculous. I worked like 50-something hours and then 7 hours on Sunday. So... this is really the first time I've had, so I'm very happy to be back doing this.
Yeah, it's been a good time. I think that's it. We'll be back early next week. Randy, anything else to add?
No, we're good.
All right, sounds good. Well, for Randy Hall, I'm Christian Williams. We will talk to you guys next week. Later.